and welcome to Ukraine Calling, your weekly review of what's been happening in Ukraine with a focus on a main issue. I'm Marta Dechok for Hromadske Radio, and here's a look at some of the stories that caught my attention.
Last week, the OIC-SMM recorded a 75% increase in the number of ceasefire violations compared to the previous week.
We highly appreciate the efforts of the Ukrainian authorities, including President Poroshenko, on implementing broad scale of reforms in extremely difficult conditions. The success of Ukraine will become the success of the whole of Europe.
Ukraine's largest private bank is being nationalized to protect the country's financial system and preserve an essential bailout loan from the International Monetary Fund. Privat Bank was running out of money because of the recession in Ukraine and questionable loans.
It's been another week of mixed news in Ukraine. The holiday season has begun. Things are heating up in the Donbas. And the United Nations voted to support a Ukrainian resolution about Crimea. Monday the 19th was particularly busy. It was St. Nicholas Day in Ukraine, a saint's day that some Western Christian countries observe on December the 6th and is associated with gift-giving. We'll have a feature interview about how this and other holidays have revived in the years of Ukraine's independence later in the show. On Monday, children were looking forward to opening presents. Adults woke up to the news that Ukrainian armed forces had suffered the heaviest losses in 5 months. Ministry of Defense spokesperson reported a five-fold increase in heavy artillery and mortar shelling, that five soldiers had been killed, six wounded, and another 10 suffered from various forms of trauma. The OSCE reported a 75% increase in ceasefire violations as compared to the previous week, and that the use of heavy weapons banned by the Minsk agreements had increased by 300%. The escalation was so intense that the Ukraine war began appearing in the international media again. The OSCE Special Monitoring Mission in Ukraine issued a year-end report. They recorded over 300,000 incidents in 2016 that they call ceasefire violations. What they mean by ceasefire violations is bombardment by rocket artillery, howitzers, tanks, and other heavy weapons. The United Nations passed a resolution proposed by Ukraine this Monday. The document is titled, "The Situation of Human Rights in the Autonomous Republic of Crimea and the City of Sevastopol, Ukraine." A draft was adopted back in November. Although it focuses on the human rights situation in the peninsula, it's reportedly the first UN document that clearly states that Russia has temporarily occupied Crimea. Previous documents had used softer language, more characteristic of the UN. Statements like, "The UN is committed to the sovereignty, political independence, unity, and territorial integrity of Ukraine within its internationally recognized borders." Russia objected to this latest resolution and voted against it. But 70 countries voted in favor and it passed. The Ukraine resolution was one of 50 adopted that day. All of them were proposed by the General Assembly's Third Committee, which deals with social, humanitarian, and cultural issues. We'll post a link to the UN decision on our website. Brussels was also discussing Ukraine on Monday. The European Union and Ukraine held their third meeting of the Association Council. They discussed how to further deepen cooperation. A joint press release was issued at the end of the meeting, and it had many positive things to say about Ukraine. The Association Council welcomed the substantial progress achieved by Ukraine in the reform process since its last meeting, including approximation with EU norms and standards across the board. It also reported a 7.5% increase in trade volume between the two parties over the last year, and looked forward to the next Eastern Partnership Summit that is scheduled for November 2017. Meanwhile, in Moscow, the Ukrainian World Congress was reportedly put on the so-called Patriotic Stop List. It's a list of non-governmental organizations that the Russian state considers undesirable and are to be banned. The Ukrainian World Congress is an international coordinating body for Ukrainian diaspora communities and has consultative status at the UN. One of the largest Ukrainian diasporas lives in Russia, and it's come under pressure over the last few years. Ukraine Calling listeners may remember a November report about the director of the Ukrainian library in Moscow who was put on trial for allegedly inciting ethnic hatred against Russians. Now Russian administrative bodies are considering whether to ban Ukrainian organizations that are affiliated with the Ukrainian World Congress. Domestically, the big news in Ukraine on Monday was that the country's largest bank was nationalized. Privatbank is now owned by Ukraine's finance ministry. The bank had reportedly been facing credit and debt problems for a year. According to the Kyiv Post, on December the 18th, Privatbank was declared insolvent because it had failed a recapitalization request from the regulator. The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development issued a statement supporting the nationalization, and Reuters reported that Ukraine's dollar-denominated bonds jumped by more than 1% when the move was announced. Privatbank had been co-owned by one of Ukraine's richest men, Igor Kolomoisky. He was initially silent after the nationalization of his bank, but on Thursday he made a public statement. He thanked Prime Minister Groysman for stepping in and blamed the problems on the country's national bank, accusing them of poor management. The Ukrainian term he used was svavilia. Both Kolomoisky and the government emphasized that they have the customer's best interests at heart. It remains to be seen how this will affect ordinary Ukrainians.
Ну що ж, і тепер ми з радістю можемо оголосити фестиваль Святого Миколая відкритим!
A tree lighting ceremony was held in Kyiv's St. Sophia Square on St. Nicholas Day. The country's main Christmas tree now stands next to one of its oldest cathedrals. The golden-domed landmark dates back to the 11th century. In the past, Ukraine's main tree used to be put up in Kyiv's main square, known as the Maidan, which was the site of many political protests. Now, the tree has migrated to a religious site. St. Nicholas himself attended this year's ceremony, and the event was televised by many channels. Politicians also put in appearances at the event before they gave the stage over to the musicians. Hromadske Radio reported earlier in the week that St. Nicholas' tradition is spreading in the Donbas. They interviewed an activist who's been taking gifts to orphanages in the East. Anastasia Rozlutska described how now children know who St. Nick is and greet them with traditional songs to the gift-giving saint. Oksana Smirichuk has a unique perspective on Ukrainian holidays. She's now based in Kyiv, but she was born in Australia of Ukrainian parents. As an adult, she lived in Canada. And in the late 1980s, she moved to Moscow with her diplomat husband. And from there, they traveled to Ukraine. In the early 1990s, they got posted to Kyiv, where they lived for a number of years. And in 2014, once again, they got posted there. So she has seen Ukraine and its changing holiday traditions over 25 years. Ms. Mirichuk, thank you very much for finding the time to speak to us. Let's start with, you've seen this country, Ukraine, evolve and its traditions around the holiday season in the winter. What are the biggest changes that you've seen over the 25 years living there in the early 90s and now again?
Well, I guess the biggest impression is that there's so many of these Ukrainian traditions that were 25 years ago, they were strictly in the private sphere. There was something that was celebrated just at home, are now becoming mass culture. And at the same time, I guess I'm seeing is a lot of these things that are part of the Soviet way of life somehow changing, and then altogether it's evolving into something new. So
can you give us some examples? What sort of Soviet things are evolving in what ways?
Well, we've just celebrated on the 19th of December. That was St. Nicholas Day. So according to the religious tradition, St. Nicholas comes and visits good children during the night from the 18th to the 19th of December and leaves a present for those that behave themselves, leaves a present under the pillow. And there's also a devil that comes and leaves a switch for the bad ones. So this was, because this was associated with the church and religious traditions, this was something that was banned during the Soviet era. But still, in Western Ukraine, definitely, this is something that was still practiced by families privately and remembered when, once again, this was allowed in the 1990s. So today we're seeing, I had this eye-opening moment. I was walking down the street in Kyiv last week, and I noticed that there was a shop selling watches, and it's a big international brand, and they had a poster saying 19% discount for those who are helping St. Nicholas on the 19th of December. And I thought, wow, St. Nicholas has really made it once he's featuring in advertising like this. So I think he has, for one thing, become mainstream, you could say. This is something that was really, surreptitiously practiced during the Soviet time. But now, I think due to the fact that it has also been introduced to schools, Ukrainian schools have a celebration for St. Nicholas Day, where the children will sing songs and perform and recite and dance for the benefit of St. Nicholas.
Is this something that you saw in the early 90s, or is this something you saw when you came back in 2014?
I think I'm particularly struck by this now in 2016, when I'm beginning to see more and more nuances and how this, in a way, St. Nicholas is taking on some of the characteristics even of Did Moroz, Father Frost, which was the figure that during Soviet times would hand out gifts to children, regardless of how well they behaved, just to all children on New Year's Eve.
This was actually the next thing I wanted to ask you about, is do you see the sort of the lingering of the Soviet ghost of tradition in the way things are celebrated in the winter holidays in Ukraine today?
Well, for one thing, it's with St. Nicholas. From reading literature and from reading how St. Nicholas was celebrated in pre-war Ukraine, St. Nicholas...
Pre-Soviet.
St. Nicholas was a bishop, he was a saint, and he was dignified, a dignified gentleman. He was a bit aloof. He sort of blessed the children, distributed presents, and he was very dignified. Did Moroz, on the other hand, would
Father
come...
Christmas.
Yeah, Father Christmas, the Soviet Father Christmas, or Father Frost,
Father
Grandfather
Christmas.
Frost, that would come and... hand our presents on for New Year's Eve, would usually play with the children, or they would sing songs for him. It was more of a sort of a jolly fellow, I suppose, rather than there was no moral story. I mean, no, everyone got presents. And so I see this sort of a melding of the two traditions of how Father of St. Nicholas is acted out. He's perhaps... less reserved, I guess more fun, if we can imagine that. And it's something new. It's a new, I guess, kind of tradition evolving. And another way that the, I guess, the Soviet traditions really, they, I guess, are taking or perhaps shifting a bit. Now, if you look at Western Ukraine and you look at how Central Eastern Southern Ukraine celebrates, in Western Ukraine, the emphasis is definitely on Christmas. It still is. Despite the fact that during the Soviet times, the New Year's celebration were really the only celebrations that were allowed. People in Western Ukraine still celebrate New Year's Day, perhaps not quite so intensively as Christmas, but it's still there. And also, on the other hand, in other parts of Ukraine, such as in Kyiv, I would say that the major holiday is still New Year's Eve. It's a lot of consumption, a lot of feasting, a lot of gift-giving, parties, champagne, music, dancing, fireworks. So although Christmas is still a good celebration, but it's more of a family occasion, it's more of a quieter occasion, there's a lot of traditions and carol singing, etc., associated with that. It is still there.
You had mentioned that you were seeing a kind of a fusion of different traditions happening in Ukraine. Do you see the impact of the Western cultural presence? Has that appeared? Do you see that in the way holidays are celebrated now?
Well, I have one word, shopping malls. 25 years ago, there were no shopping malls as we know them. And so with market, the fact that there's more consumption opportunities, a greater variety of shopping available and for gift giving, and there's a lot of marketing as well. You have, these tools being borrowed from, in terms of marketing, from things that have worked well in Western countries, such as Christmas music in shopping malls to get people in the buying mood. So you have that. If you walk around Christmas markets in Kyiv, you can hear jingle bells, you can hear Silent Night, and same in shopping malls. And rather than some local music. Although I have to add, that is being worked on, and I'm finding myself surprised every year that new Ukrainian music that somehow blends this sort of, the festivity, the style of Western Christmas music, and musicians are thinking up new variations of Ukrainian Christmas songs. For example, Jingle Bells, the Ukrainian version. So is that cultural progress? But it's interesting to see.
Perhaps cosmopolitanism. Ms. Mitichuk, can you tell us what is your favorite holiday in the winter season, and what sort of experience can you share that you saw in Kyiv either in the early 90s or during your current posting that really struck out, that really stood out?
Well, I have to say, probably my favorite is to see how Ukrainian Christmas carols are being revived, and because they were, not really practiced so much during the Soviet period. They were more relegated to the ethnographer's box and what people sung amongst family at home. But now we see musicians developing all kinds of variations of Christmas music, and even you have some musicians digging deep and finding, say, Baroque Ukrainian Christmas music. And then you have a lot of development in terms of the Christmas mystery plays, which are called Vertep, which is like a group of carol singers that take on speaking roles and dress in costumes and go and tell a Christmas story, usually with a moral and or with a message, and quite often which is funny too. So it's great to see all the creativity and how this has been developed.
Have you had carolers come to the residence?
Absolutely, we encourage them. Well, even
again, like if you want to contrast 1990s and now.
Well, even in the 1990s, there was quite a common thing to have on the 13th of January to have, and the once again the 14th of January, which is the the old calendar, New Year, to have young boys come around sowing wheat and singing carols to bring the householders good luck. So, and then the householders would give them a few coins to thank them. And so this has been there all along. And I one distinct memory that I have is during the early 90s, when the time of perestroika, when people felt brave enough actually to go and sing Christmas carols in the streets. I remember in Lviv when people said, hey, they're singing carols in the streets. There was this great rush and crowds would gather and just sing carols together because it was allowed once again. And then we can contrast that today where you can go and buy, you can get a CD with jazz versions of Christmas carols. So that's really something there to enjoy. Something that I found really curious when I came back to Kyiv again in 2014, because I remember back in the Soviet times, there used to be this tradition of, it was practiced by a very small minority of people jumping into, cutting a hole in the ice and jumping into the river to bathe on New Year's Day. And this is really for people who are convinced that sort of this contrast of freezing cold water and was good for their health. But what I find is in now, in Ukraine, this has become attached to the Feast of Epiphany. Back in the traditional times when, say, the classic scene in the village, on Epiphany, there was a blessing of the waters, there was a, from the village church, there was a religious procession down to the local river, there was a cross cut in the ice, and then the waters were blessed, and this was sort of like a source of healing water for the people. No, I think my great-grandparents would have thought people were out of their mind to jump into freezing cold rivers. But today it's a big thing. In Kyiv, for example, it's somehow connected to Epiphany, and a lot of people jump into the Dnipro River. For example, the mayor of Kyiv and a lot of celebrities, and it's a lot about this scene about this in the media. And so that's once again a new angle on this that was a bit unexpected for me. Something I've also noticed when I walked into the supermarket last week was that you can now, that the Christmas meal is now becoming more commercialized. The Christmas meal, especially on Christmas Eve, was something really kept in the private sphere. I mean, it was really discouraged as well during Soviet times because it was tied into a religious tradition. And the main feature of the meal, which has 12 dishes, but the main feature is a dish of wheat called kutya. It has wheat, honey, poppy seed, sort of main things, plus walnuts and probably raisins. And so this is something, you know, people had at hand in the village and it was okay, you could make this at home, and so the state didn't need to meddle in this. And it was pretty kind of a self-sufficient kind of tradition. So I was really pleasantly surprised when I can see, okay, the supermarkets are trying to commercialize this, because now you can buy kutya party packs. That is all in one. It's all ready. It's all packaged, the wheat, the poppy seed, and I think the wheat wasn't even semi-cooked, the poppy seed and the raisins and the walnuts, you just mix it all together. And I think it's a sign that Rizdvo, or traditional Ukrainian Christmas, is becoming mass culture.
Thank you. I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday season, and thank you for sharing your memories with us. A new song premiered in Ukraine this week. It's called Molitva na Rizdvo, which means a prayer for Christmas. The sentiment is something along the lines of, all I want for Christmas is for my father to come home from the war. Zinoviy Medyuk wrote the lyrics and composed the music. He's also known as Zenlik z Maidanu, Zenko from the Maidan. During the Euromaidan protests, he stayed up at night and played music for the protesters to help them keep warm. When the war broke out, he signed up with the National Guard and went to the Donbas. During breaks in the fighting, he entertained fellow soldiers with music and began recording. This is his sixth. In this one, he teamed up with Oksana Mucha and the Picardiska Tarzia, and the video includes Ukraine's defense ministry footage from the war. We'll post a link to it on our website, but for now, have a listen.
Збиралася малеча, мати кутю вже поставила на стіл. В хаті у нас когось бракує.
Діти, тато наш воює, молимось, щоб повернувся він.
Молимось, щоб повернувся він. Та молитва на Різдво збереже в бою його, і Оленка зачекала свого тата.
Миколаї всі святі, поверніть його мені, і не треба більш нічого дарувати.
І не треба більш нічого дарувати.
Супчик лиш пробився, він ні разу ще не бачив свого тата.
Він ні разу ще не бачив свого тата.
Та молитва на Різдво збереже його в АТО,
і Оленка зачекала свого тата.
Миколаї всі святі, поверніть його мені,
і не треба більш нічого дарувати, і не треба більш нічого дарувати. Почесав по бороді,
запитав усіх ангелів, тих, що були на війні, чи живий Оленки тато, чи поверне до села. Не беруть його гранати, Богородиця спасла.
Та молитва на Різдво берегла його в АТО,
і Оленка дочекалась свого тата.
Миколаї всі святі зберегли його мені,
і не треба більш нічого дарувати.
Та молитва на Різдво берегла його в АТО,
і Оленка дочекала свого тата.
Ukraine's budget needs to be adopted before the end of the year. so the government has some work to do before taking a break for the holidays. We'll be watching that and other stories. Tune in next week for a new episode and write to us on ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. I'm Marta Dechork for Hromadske Radio. Thanks for listening.